Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
See what I mean?
You're right. I'm really not the worst trumpet player in the world. Thanks, Dad.
Just keep practicing, son. You'll get it.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Good morning. Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for joining the show and taking the time to listen. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. This morning I'll be speaking with David Miller. He's the co-founder of the Urban Leadership Institute, and they're working to help raise our children, but also help educators deal with children, girls and boys. But today we'll be focusing on raising young men. I'm going to read a little bit from his book he co-authored, Raising Him Alone. Be polite and respectful when stopped by the police. Stay calm and remain in control. Watch your words, body language, and emotions. Don't, under any circumstances, get into an argument with the police. These are just some of the things that are written in Raising Him Alone, and today we're going to talk about a lot more. I just want to also tell you, right now we're past 57, almost 58,000 downloads of the show, and I want to thank you for your support and sharing with friends and family and whoever you share the show with. Thank you so much. You know, I do this show because I just think it's important that people know about what's going on in the world. I don't know everything, and nobody knows everything. So that's why I have shows about all different types of topics, health topics, arts topics, political topics, because I think a lot of people may be isolated, are not aware of things that are going on. So I try to have shows. If you have suggestions or comments about the shows or things that you think I should cover, please feel free to email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeyes@hotmail.com. Let me just start off by reading something also from the Kaiser Family Foundation. This is from July 2006. There are, at the time, there were about 4.5 million African-American men in the country. The unemployment rate for young African-American men is over twice the rate for young white men. And they also have statistics about, of course, we know, the disproportionate number of African-American men in the criminal justice system. Fewer than 8% of young African-American men have graduated from college compared to 17% of their white people and also 35% of Asians. So the statistics are daunting. And, you know, every day on the news you see, you know, crime, you know, a black father's not being there. You see all these negative things. Well, I want to talk about what we can do to help alleviate that. And David Miller's book, Raising Him Alone, is extremely helpful. I see a lot of people in the chat room. I want to thank you so much for being in the chat room. I want to ask you if you have any questions or concerns. Some of the things I stated in the chat room are, do you think that women can raise boy children? I know plenty of single moms, and some of them have girl children, some have boy children, some have both. As a single mom, I have a girl child. I cannot really understand raising a boy child because I've never done that. But I can talk to you about raising a child. And some of the things that David Miller speaks about in his book, one of those is monitoring their time. That's one of the first things he talks about. And, you know, we're working, we're tired, we have our own dreams and goals, but monitoring your child's time, I think, is one of the most important things that you can do. And one of the great things about Raising Him Alone, the book, they have actually a little grid. you know, where is your kid? This is one of the things my daughter hates about me. Why I got to call you when I get home? Why I got to call you when I get to so-and-so's house? Why do I have to call you when I'm going, getting out the movie theater? Well, you got to call me and tell me or text me or something so I have an idea of where you are. I'm monitoring your time. Also, I explained to her, if something happens to you, I can at least say, well, to the police or somebody, well, I spoke to her or heard from her was at, you know, 3:30. Or if there's a fire in the neighborhood or something happens in the neighborhood, I can call her and say, you know, you don't walk down that street today because it's blocked off. So these are some of the things that I have to explain to my child about why I'm asking her to communicate with me on a regular basis. I'm not sure if that's some of the things you might do with your child, but that's some of the things I did with my child. I continue to do with her until, you know, she leaves and goes to college. I told her that's the way it is. One of the other things he talks about in the book is knowing your child's friends, knowing your child's friends, and knowing your child's friends' family. One of the things I did when my daughter was little is she couldn't go over to somebody's house unless I had been there first to see what the house was like. Well, that was the worst. So she wouldn't even ask me sometimes if she could go someplace because she was like, oh, God, you want to know the parents' number? You want to come with me? I went with her. And I went with her one day to a friend's house, and I stayed there. And the mom, they were like, oh, okay, well, you going to come back? I said, oh, no, no, I'm fine. I'm just going to relax right here. Sit right here, watch the TV. You know, they were eating, doing somebody's hair, and, you know, the girls played. And I saw people, different people coming in and out of the house, the uncle and his friend, you know, the girl, the aunt and her friend. These are things you got to do as a parent. It's time-consuming. It is not an easy job being a parent, especially being a single parent. There was nobody else there to take the flack, and there's nobody else there to also enjoy the positive things. When your child says they love you, they hug you, thank you, there are a lot of positive things to being a parent. I love children, but I will say that it is a very difficult job. But knowing the friends of your children, but also knowing the family of the friends of your children, you know, like their mother, the father, the aunt, the uncle. It could be grandparents. Grandparents are raising kids these days. This is one of the things that's talked about in David's book. Grandparents are raising kids these days. They're older. They're, you know, 65 senior citizens, have health issues. So it can be even more difficult because they may not have the energy to do the level of monitoring a younger parent can do. I want to let you know, you feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-929-0368. David Miller is going to be calling in a second, had a little bit of technical difficulty, so he'll be calling in any second now, but I want to feel free to tell you to call in 646-929-0368. Good morning, 410 area code.
Good morning. How you doing?
David?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Yeah, sorry, I'm late. I'm doing the daddy thing as always, picking my daughter up from here with my daughter at gymnastics, so she's running a little behind. So I'm ready.
Well, that's one of the things I just finished speaking about in your book is monitoring your child's time, and that also encompasses getting them involved in different activities. So I see you're at gymnastics. Let me just start off with one. You're doing some great things, David, and that's why I have you on the show. Let me tell you, how has this path changed you? Going down this path, writing this book, doing the Urban Leadership Institute, how has this changed you as a parent?
I mean, it's really helped me understand some of the greater challenges that parents in this nation are really faced with. Because I think at the end of the day, being a parent is one of the toughest jobs that you can ever do. And I think you know, my background in terms of growing up and my background of being, you know, as a school teacher and you know, doing a tremendous amount of work with young people across the country really, really helped me understand that we really need to focus more of our energy, more of our attention on what I call positive parenting strategies. Because at the end of the day, I think as a nation, we are failing children because our families are failing. And so my primary body of work over the last 15-plus years had really been from an educational and a youth development standpoint. But over the last 3 to 4 years, I decided to really focus the majority of my energy on working with parents. And one, just trying to be a better parent myself, as well as really trying to extend our outreach initiatives as a company to better support parents.
One of the things you talk about in your book is, and I think this is a core issue for parents and children, is self-esteem. Talk to the audience about the KS2+A=SC formula. Talk about that KS2 formula.
Well, that's that was a formula developed by the co-author, Matt Stevens, to really begin to look at one of the ways that we improve self-esteem among young people is dealing with their first K, which is knowledge. I mean, I think at the end of the day, particularly when we look at black and brown children, one of the things that we have to make sure is that we basically build well-rounded children. When I say build well-rounded children, one of the reasons why I have my daughter in gymnastics and one of the reasons why my children swim and have played lacrosse and soccer and all those other things is because a lot of times I think we have been conditioned, particularly, you know, black and brown folks, to think that our children just need to be playing basketball or football. And I think what ends up happening is there are so many, there's a range of sports and things that we need to have our children involved in. And so, for example, one of the things that me and my son do, my son is 10, one of the things that we do a lot, and actually we're going today in about maybe 2 or 3 hours, is we indoor rock climb. One of the reasons why we indoor rock climb is because I wanted to expose my son to things that he ordinarily wouldn't have a chance to be exposed to, and try to expose him and his friends, because him and some of the other little guys that he's friends with, we're going to be going rock climbing. Because, again, I think a lot of times we put our children in these boxes and we don't allow them to grow. Thus, oftentimes many of our sons have low self-esteem. So, for example, I can't wait for the weather to break, because I'm in the Baltimore, Washington area. So can't wait until the weather breaks, because one of the things that I do and one of the things that my son loves doing is we kayak. And so me and my son.
I did that when I was younger in camp. I think that is also so important. We're talking a lot about sports, but arts. I'm an artiste myself. And one of the things your book in Raising Him Alone talks about is exposing your children to the arts. My daughter goes to the theater. She's been to the ballet, the opera. She listens to all different types of music. And then she initiates her little, you know, search and curiosity on her own. But I, as a parent, was the catalyst. And I want to encourage, you know, parents. And, again, we talk about – I focus a lot on African-American, Latino, Native American, you know, on minorities, to get out of that box that David just talked about. Yes, there are Tiger Woods, and it could be in your child too. You know, they could be playing the violin. Your son could be, who knows, a math genius. They're all different things that your son could be, but they need to be exposed. And let me explain, the exposure has to start young. I want to read a little bit from an article from the New York Times. This was a proficiency of black students is found to be far lower than expected. This was November 2010, but let me read this small part here. There's accumulating evidence that there are racial differences in what kids experience before the first day of kindergarten. Let me read that again. There are accumulating evidence that there are racial differences in what kids experience before the first day of kindergarten. This is from Ronald Ferguson, director of the Achievement Gap Initiative at Harvard. They have to do with a lot of sociological and historical forces. In order to address those, we have to be able to have conversations that people are unwilling to have. What are parents doing with their children 2, 3, 4 years old? How are they talking to them, the ways they're talking to them, enforcing discipline? What do you think about that, David, that comment?
I'm a fan of Dr. Ferguson's work at Harvard and the work that he's doing, particularly around, you know, the achievement gap. But he is 100%, you know, correct. I mean, so, you know, if like while my son has played basketball, when I'm at the basketball games with my son, I'm listening to the kinds of conversations that parents are having, and they're talking about the Atlanta Housewives. They're talking about, you know, I mean, they're talking about nonsense. But when I'm taking my children to activities where I am one in the minority, You know, folks are talking about 401k plans. Folks are talking about going, like you said, the violin lessons. Folks are talking about going to the theater. And, again, at the end of the day, I think that we have to build well-rounded children. Children cannot teach themselves. And so as parents, we have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to be willing to expose our children to the arts, to culture, to fine dining. One of the things, I did a workshop the other day, and I was explaining, a parent was asking me at what age should you expose your sons to college. And I'm like, as soon as they begin to walk and talk, you need to start taking your sons on college campus, because, I mean, they need to be able to understand that they have the power and the potential to go to college. You can't wait till your son is 16 to then begin to talk to him about college opportunities, and he doesn't get a chance to visit a college until he's 16 or 17 years old. And so there's some things that we got to do. There's some things that we got to do to start early. And so
David, let me just interrupt you. When we say start early, I want to emphasize to parents that early means in the womb. Early means the first year of life, the second year of life. Early development, synapses are being developed in your child in the womb. What you're doing while the child is in your womb, how you're eating, the talking, the stress, all these things. A mother under stress carrying a baby, the baby takes that stress on and can have bowel movements inside the uterus. So it starts early. Then when the first year of life, breastfeeding. Do not be afraid to breastfeed. Take the time. That is one of the most important things. I am a proponent of breastfeeding. I know some people have a hard time with it for many different reasons. Some people aren't able. But a lot of mothers, and I'm going to point this out, in our society are being conditioned that it's not cool. They don't have the time. Let me tell you, this is one of the greatest things you can do for your kid. And then talking to them and sharing different experiences, like David just said, early age. Don't wait till 16 to talk to them about going to college. David, I want to focus on your book a little bit. You talk about searching your son's room as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the audience about that. Why do you think that's important?
Well, it's critically important in these days and times that if you are raising a child, particularly a male child, that there's so many traps and pitfalls and vices out here awaiting our sons. And I think what ends up happening is, just in my own personal and professional opinion, we give our children too much too early, and then we don't have the guts, if you will, to then go back and monitor. So, for example, things like cell phones. I'm just amazed, Sister Joy, when I see a 5 or 6 year old boy with a cell phone. Now, why does a 5 or 6 year old or 7 year old need a cell phone? In my opinion, it's not cute. Oftentimes, parents are trying to keep up with what other children are doing. And then even when you begin to look at things like Facebook and other technology, it's so important that we begin to make sure that we check our children's rooms, because what ends up happening now, children don't go outside like they used to when I was growing up. So what ends up happening
is, they're in the house on the Facebook, on the Twitter. I told my daughter, I said, fine. When she asked me about having a Facebook page, I said, sure, you can have a Facebook page. I need the password. I'll be monitoring. I told her straight up, I will be monitoring your page random. Not all the time. I mean, she's a pretty good kid overall. You know, I don't have too much problem. But I told her, one day I went and checked it. I think she changed the password or something. She was like, I didn't change the password. I couldn't get in. What's the password? Then she was asking me, why do you need the password? I said, because I'm your parent. In the conversation.
And some of it also is, Joy, for me. Like, I have a 15-year-old, and she doesn't have a Facebook page. She doesn't have a cell phone. And the reason being is because just in my own home and just the way that I feel I need to do things, sometimes I really believe that we need to set limits. And I think all too often we are buying our children, we're giving our children so much, and then so that's why we get to a point where we got to search a child's room, because I really believe many of us don't even know what our children are into. And we have intervened and worked with a lot of families, and we have suggested that they search their son's rooms. They found drugs. They found condoms. They found pistols. They found information in the son's diary or in the son's notebook where the son is being bullied every day. And one of the reasons why you search your son's room is because you may be able to divert a tragedy.
Well, one of the things you talk about is gangs, keeping sons out of gangs in your book, and talking about the different tattoos and signs like that. What are some of the things that you're seeing across this country that are successful in helping keep young sons out of gangs?
You got to keep them busy. I grew up, born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, grew up in a very, very tough city. One of the reasons why I didn't get caught up in the nonsense is because my parents kept me busy. Every summer, I was in summer camp. My parents made sure that they saved money throughout the year to be able to afford to get me and my brother in summer camp. I'm just amazed when I meet children 14, 15 years old, they've never been to summer camp. And so what is the
Well, you know, we're getting into class issues, too. When you talk about saved money and being, you went every summer, you know, I was fortunate. I was able to put my kids. Let me tell you, there are a lot of free, inexpensive camps that are run by different cities all over this country. And, you know, you got to keep your kid busy. Keeping your kid in the house all day long during the summer on the video game, on the computer, and then you're at work and you think that's okay, it's detrimental to your child. You know, I really think it's detrimental. And there are inexpensive scholarships, all types of things. Go to your city website. Most cities have listings of free day camps. And I know it's fearful maybe to leave your kids with people you're not really familiar with, but you can do background checks. You can call the office. You can ask for paperwork. That is your right as a parent. David, real quick, we got a little couple minutes left. One of the things, talking to your son as a mother about sex, and I like that you have that in your book. That's a very important, talking about his body parts, talking about sexual relationships. One of the things I want to add to that, David, is talking to your son about female body parts and female sexuality is also important. Tell me your opinion about that.
Very, 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 very important. And, again, you want your son to learn about sex. You don't want him to learn from his peer group because his peer group doesn't know. If you go to our website, RaisingThemAlone.com, you'll find talking points on the website for moms who struggle with having a conversation with their son about sex. Mom or grandma may not necessarily feel comfortable. We have put talking points on the website to deal with everything from dealing with that conversation, dealing with the whole issue of peer pressure and gangs. We have built one of the largest parent-based websites in the country, rich with information, as well as if you go to our Facebook page, Single Mothers Raising Boys, you'll find very, very interesting information about raising a son, as well as you can participate in a larger dialogue with mothers and grandmothers across the country.
Well, I just really want to say thank you so much for being on today. And one of the things I wanted to end with is he can never be the man of your house, something that you talk about single mothers may do, and making the son the man of the house as a single mom. And you say that is not something they should do. Talk to me about that.
First and foremost, you got to develop an exit plan for your son. And he needs to know that he needs to leave your house between 18 and 20 years of age. And in order to get to that point, you have to begin to pour into your son and begin to work with your son around careers. After high school, it could be college, it could be the military, but we have too many adult African-American males who are living with their mothers at 35 and 40 years old, and a lot of that is because parents, a boy has to be on his own at some point. At some point, mom, you got to cut the apron strings. Boy has to leave your house, and he has to learn how to fend for himself.
Well, that's one of the things you talk about, making him pay rent. I mean, I think any kid who's staying in a house after a certain age, they're getting a job. They need to take care of the house. I already talked to my daughter about taking care of the house. I'm like, you and I are living here. Nobody else is living here. You got to do some of the chores. I got to do some of the chores. That's just the way it is. You're taking care of your house. When you get your own house, I would hope that you do the same thing. Some other things we have about 5 minutes left to talk about are teaching them about African history as African-American males. How do you think that makes a difference for a black male learning about African-American history or African history?
I mean, it's so critically important that we know who we are, where we come from, and that we know the important contributions of African-Americans, both past and present. So, for example, one of my good friends is a brother that I hope you'll get on the show. His name is Jerry Craft. Jerry Craft, an African-American brother, grew up in Harlem. He is a cartoonist. He's considered to be one of the most well-known African-American cartoonists in the country. And you're talking about a relatively young black male who gets paid to design comic strips. And so I always need to see a Jerry Craft. But then they also need to know about African Americans and African heroes and sheroes that they may not be familiar with. Because what ends up happening is we only teach our children about Frederick Douglass, Martin Luther King, and Harriet Tubman. And it is very difficult for our children to grow and to thrive and to understand their cultural legacy when they've never heard of a Stephen Biko. You know, when they have never heard of a Kwame Nkrumah, former Prime Minister of Ghana, or Julius Nyerere, former Prime Minister
Paul
of Tanzania. Today is actually Paul Robeson's birthday. We're doing a celebration in Baltimore honoring Paul Robeson, who was a gifted football player, an attorney, an opera singer, an international icon. Most people, most black and white folks, don't even know who Paul Robeson was.
James Baldwin. You will be written down in the history books, David Miller, as being a great African-American male trying to make a difference with the Urban Leadership Institute. And I have put the links to different programs that you have, Dare to Be King and Raising Him Alone, on this blog talk radio and also on the Facebook. So I want to encourage everybody to reach out, urbanyouth.org. And not only do you deal with peers, but you're dealing with educators, too. You have a lot of training programs that you can take into schools and different educational settings that train the trainer. And I think that's an important issue because how your kids are being taught, like David just said, is also important. The educators may not have the skills they need, and David's group can help them with that. So if you're listening this morning, please reach out to them, urbanyouth.org. David Miller, thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
Thanks a lot, Sister Joy, and continue to keep pushing.
All right, you take it easy. Have a great Saturday.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening this morning. I just got off the phone with David Miller, co-founder of the Urban Leadership Institute. Their website is urbanyouth.org. They're doing wonderful work with parents, also with educators. They're not just focusing on boys. Today we did a lot of focus on raising sons. They also have a wonderful program, Dare to Be Queen, and focusing on young women. So reach out to them. You want to check out Dare to Be King. That's another great website of theirs. Check them out on Facebook. They have an Urban Leadership Institute Facebook fan page and also a Facebook page for Raising Him Alone. The book called Raising Him Alone, you want to reach out that Things Black Women Can Do to Raise Boys to Be Men, David Miller and Matthew P. Stevens. You want to pick up a copy. And as you know, I may be giving away a copy, so you're going to have to stay tuned and check me out on Twitter.com/JoyKeys or become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm going to be doing another show tomorrow with a great actress, Khadija Kareem, and a new upcoming director, M. Legend Brown, talking about their film, Kiss by the Devil. Check that out tomorrow, 12 p.m. Next Saturday, though, I'm going to be having Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars on the show at 11 a.m. Eastern, so you want to check that out, learn about their struggles coming out of Sierra Leone. If you don't know the history, a war-torn country, a lot of strife, but they were able to achieve. So check out next Saturday. And you can call in 646-929-0368. And take the time to talk to your kids. Take the time to be involved in your child's life. I know it's difficult. It's a sacrifice you have to make, but it will make a world of difference. And if you don't have the time, reach out to others, your community, your larger community, Big Brother, Big Sister, David's organization. They have listings of all types of organizations that can help you in raising your child. You have a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful week. Thank you.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
See what I mean?
You're right. I'm really not the worst trumpet player in the world. Thanks, Dad.
Just keep practicing, son. You'll get it.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.